heard this really good bit once by Brian Callen on Rogan. If you're not into Brian Callen, American comedian, really good mates with Rogan. Have a look at his podcasts with Rogan, and also, it's hard to think you don't know him, really. He's Fighter and the Kid with... Oh, that's the mic. Stand by. That's all gone wrong. Bollocks. You go back up there. You go there. That'd be ideal. There we go. Fighter and the Kid. Amazing podcast. Until Brian Callen left. And it's just never been listenable. Again, I really did try. I tried to stick with it. I love... oh my God, I'm totally blanking on... Brendan Sharp. Jesus Christ. Brendan Sharp. I love him, and I like Below the Belt. A few podcasts ago, I was talking about, I made reference to a podcast I listen to that is a solitary person talking, and I was going to name it, and I never came back to it. That's the one I was talking about. The Below the Belt podcast by Brendan Sharp, which is strictly MMA fight world stuff. It's very different to Fighter and the Kid. Fighter and the Kid was, or is, I suppose, in its current iteration, all over the map. But those two together were just phenomenal. I don't know if you've seen recent video. I think it's just on Brian Callen's Instagram of those two. They're having like a play fight, and they start. He's released it in sort of segments. Starts with a stand-up, and Brian Callen's moving around and striking stuff, and then they clinch up, and then in the next video it's going to the ground, and then I think actually the video that came out first was by Brendan, and it was he subbed Brian Callen with a Kimura, top-down orthodox Kimura with Brendan on top and Brian on the floor with his arm cranked up behind his back. So that came out first, and that was by Brendan. And then I think Brian has brought out other segments of this fight, and the first one in particular is just hilarious. He's doing this like lion dance thing as he's trying to fight him, and I say lion, he's sort of like meowing like an alley cat. And their chemistry is off the scale. The way those two, and it's such an odd pair. But I've heard it said lots of times that Brendan is what Brian always wanted to be, or would like in a different life to be, but could never be. I mean, Brendan's of course a physical specimen. He's a top tier athlete, incredible genetic base, ridiculous work ethic, big muscular strapping guy. Brian is not like that at all. I'm really hoping you know who these people are, because if you don't, I'm sort of rabbiting on about people you don't know anything about. But if you don't, go and listen to some of the best podcasting you'll ever hear. Go to The Fighter and the Kid. Go right back as well to the early days, back to 2012. I think it's 2012, 2013. And they really embody that idea of just being themselves, and in doing so, they unlock something that is just magical to listen to. I think the worst kind of podcast, the worst kind of any any medium like that is when you can tell the individual's trying to do an impression of somebody. They've sort of, you can tell that behind the mask, the thought that's in rotation is, oh, I'm going to be the next Rogan here. That's going to be me. I'm going to be the next Jocko. That's such a crazy way to approach this. I think the only real way to approach this, the only way that this works, is if you love the medium. And that's why this, for me, has felt like such a natural thing to do, because I love podcasts. I think they're like the apex of new media. I think they're the best example of what we have available to us, particularly when they are in that unviable format. Like Rogan is obviously the best example of this. They can't tame him. I saw Andrew Schultz talking about mainstream media come after Rogan again or something. I mean, it's hilarious to watch this, because you can't touch that guy. What are you going to do? He's beholden to no one, which, again, circling back to the fighter and the kid thing, I feel like I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. What was so sad about that is, If you weren't a little bit behind the curtain, as I wasn't, I didn't know what was going on with the internal machinations of their podcast, you would have believed, as I believed, that they were, like Rogan, an unviable unit. Yeah, it turns out that wasn't the case. They were on the payroll. They had they had sold up and kept the facade. It's a bit excessive of a term, but I can't think of anything better for the moment. They've kept the facade of a free-balling podcast, and that just wasn't the case, and that's why it was so sad to see it all fall apart. And so I think because it wasn't when Brian was effectively sacked from that show, because it wasn't talked about, wasn't addressed by anyone, that compounded the shattering of the illusion, because I couldn't work it out. I just thought, what if, we're on such a tangent now, but if you go like, look at what happened with this is such inside baseball podcasting, so I'm really sorry if you're not deep in the podcast thing, but look at Adam Carolla. And look what happened to him when there was some kind of lawsuit brought against him. Don't know any of the detail. It was actually way before I was into podcasting. But by speaking about it, by using the weaponry he had available to him, i.e. the platform, the mic, he was able to defeat this monster that was coming out of it, coming after him out of the corporate world. I forget the undulations of this particular tale, but the general arc is some corporate organisation tries to sue him for patent trolls. That was what it was, patent trolls. There was some group had patented something that was being used in the podcast that Adam Carolla was making, and they were coming after him for inordinate amounts of money. And just by speaking about this and by disseminating this problem within the podcast world and having the other podcasters talk about it, they destroyed this case in court, because on its face it was outrageous. I remember hearing him talk about it on the episode. Is in the 600s of Rogan, where he comes on there and talks, honestly, like the late 600s. It's maybe the second time Adam Carolla's been on Joe Rogan. So I'm going to have to take a break for a second, actually, because I've just got to pop into a nick that I'm about to pass because I've left my sunnies on my desk, and I know this sounds a bit nuts, but I've got a barbecue tomorrow, and I don't know how I'm supposed to stand by the barbecue and look like I know what I'm doing without my sunnies on. So I am going to just take a brief break, and then I'll come back and resume. I didn't intend on talking about this at all. I went to talk about something completely different. So I will, I'll try and get it back on track in just a moment, but I can't do a barbecue without sunglasses. It's against my religion. It's just ridiculous. There we go, that'll do. Right, I'll be back. Well, it'll be a second for you. Got them. Right, just set this back up. This must sound awful, sorry. There we go. Right. Threat neutralised. I've got the shades. So where was I? Other than on a massive fucking tangent. What did I talk about? I was talking about... first of all, let's get this windscreen sorted. Brian Callan, Fighting the Kid, this sort of illusion that they were owned and went through to Adam Carolla, and I think that was about it. But what I was going to start with is a great line by Brian Callan on Rogan. And he says, he's making a point about substanceless words, and he gives the example of, well, he does it in like a bit where he says, well, I hear somebody say, oh yeah, X practice, it gets rid of all the toxins in your body, and his reply to this is, oh yeah, tell me about the toxins. And he's okay, sorry, what? He says, yeah, the toxins you're talking about, tell me about them. Sorry, bloody mic again. Fucking shit show. So he says, someone will say, oh yeah, gets rid of all the toxins in your body. And they say, oh yeah, great. Tell me about the toxins. You get a stunted reply. Hey, yeah, the toxins. You said about the toxins? Oh, what are they? Oh, all the toxins and that. Just loads of toxins? Yeah, no. I'll get their toxins, but what specifically are those toxins and how do they behave in the body? Oh, they're just really toxic and stuff. Yeah. So that people who say that, his point is, don't really know what the fuck they're on about. And there's a lot of words like this. Some of my favourites are when you hear people talking about vibrations. Yeah, it's just... He's got that kind of vibration. It's good vibrations. Yeah. Sorry, just expand a bit on the vibrations for me. What exactly do you mean by vibrations? Oh, just sort of like vibration. They all vibrate and stuff. Okay. I know you said about the vibrations, and then you said they vibrate, but what specifically is vibrating, and what's causing them to vibrate, and how are you detecting those vibrations? So we get odd looks, as if you're the fucking idiot asking that question. I was going to give a few more examples, but I can feel the there's a kind of interlocker in me that wants to put their hand up in the air and say, hang on a minute, maybe they are articulating something that you yourself feel, but you just find the verbiage particularly cringy. That might be true, actually. I mean, I'm not there are certain environments that I go into that I feel that the air is different, that the feeling of that particular space is different. It's not, I don't think it's so much that I'm averse to there being occurrences and phenomena that we are able to detect but can't fully articulate. In fact, that's sort of what I'm going to go on to talk about today. That's not my complaint against those words being used. I think my complaint is when I can smell that the person using those terms is doing so because they want to confer a sort of Gandhian-esque quality about themselves to me. As soon as I start hearing somebody talk about sort of vibes and energy, vibrations, toxins, when I hear that stuff, I immediately become suspicious of the speaker, because I think it's because when I experience things like that, you go in a graveyard, for example. I was in a graveyard today, that's why I made me think of it. And it is different standing in a graveyard to standing in a field, which is, it's got some similarities there. There's grass on the ground, it's an open space, there's no roof, you didn't come through a door to get in. But there's a marked difference in that there are dead bodies in the ground. And there's more than that, isn't there? There's more than dead bodies in the ground. It's a place of grief and memory, ceremony, and I am aware of it when it's there, but it's something that, and I have these moments in other forums as well, but it's something that when it occurs to me, I tend to keep it to myself. It's a privatized thing within me, and because of that, I think insofar as there is something going on, it's something I keep internal because I don't possess the language to start talking about it, and certainly not to proselytize about it. And that, I think, is a good word for what I tend to find people who use words like energy and vibrations are doing. There's an evangelical aspect of it that I find uncomfortable for two reasons. First of all, I'm uncomfortable with the fact that this is a person sat across from me in this pub that wants me to think of them as a sort of robe donning, leg crossed, sat on a stone guru type figure. That's the first bit that bothers me. Like, why do you want to come across this way? And secondly, do I look like I've just fallen off a fucking banana boat? That's my second beef with it. because there must be an element of this person must be weighing me up. I mean, maybe they just deal with everyone like this, but my sense is that they're looking at me and thinking, here's a sucker. I start talking about the older vibrations. That bothers me a little bit. So I had this job today, and I very rarely call up Mrs. UK Cop Podcast and say anything about what's going on at work at the time. I might have a little debrief afterwards. I come home and say, will you fucking believe her from fucking there? Fucking listen. Fucking. And she'll go, why don't you have a coffee and smoke a pipe in the back garden and I'll stay in here for a bit and we can talk afterwards. I tend not to do it in real time. And when I... The times I do call her is like when I'm so embarrassed by something that's happened that I can't actually talk about it with the brethren in the office, because I just think I don't actually want, I can't take whatever that conversation is going to bring up. I feel like I've dropped a bollock to such a degree that I need to talk about this, but I need it to be in a more hospitable environment than my work office. And by the way, for reasons that I'm not going to get into here, I don't want my work office to be more hospitable. That's conversation for another day, and I have talked about it before, but that's not what I'm after. I'm not interested in them being softer. I'm interested in me being stronger. But anyway, on this today, I was so disappointed in myself that I texted her first and said, I've just fucked something up. And then she messaged back, you know, what's happened, and I called her. And I explained this job, and I explained what happened, and her reply was, well, what's wrong with that? And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with it from a technical perspective. So essentially what happened is I went to a job where an individual had been attacked. At the time of the call, he was in a situation where he was said to be still in danger, and do you know any more than that? I think you do. So he's said to be still in danger. He's been attacked. We're in a rural area. Now, I turn up, and at that particular moment, the search is victim focused, of course, because we've got this victim who is still under threat. So we need to find him and neutralise the threat that he's being presented with. Now, as I'm moving through this rural environment, it's heavily populated because of the good weather at the moment. So it's a sort of natural beauty spot. Lots of young people congregate there on handsome days such as today, and they make use of the scenery. And as I'm moving through people, there's a particular group that catch my attention. And at the time, I don't know why, and I do scan them through against the information I've already got about the suspect group. It was a group of people who attacked the victim. And the descriptions don't match. The numbers are wrong. The IC codes are wrong. According to what we've got from the call log and from the control room, this group are not the group. And I'm moving through this environment looking for this victim. I'm talking to people asking, have you seen this happening, or have you heard it, you know? And then I turn around, and this group that have registered to me, but I can't fit them into the template that we've been given, they're giving it the big one away from me. And I'm 150 off at that point, all the gear on. I'll level with you, I didn't even try. 150 yard separation, the car is miles away by this point, so I'll get to a position where I can get the direction of travel, call it up and say it's not a foot chase, they've got too much on me for me to make ground on them, particularly as you know with that gear on. I was never going to close that distance down. And I've proceeded on to find the victim. The threat they were still being presented with at the time of the call had neutralised itself by that point, so there wasn't that to deal with. So it was simply the case of a victim following this assault. And the victim anyway. It was for other units, area searching for the suspects. Just dealt with him as any other victim of an assault in that environment. And the whole time I was with him, and the whole time I was with his family, I was tortured by that moment. That moment where I've come across them, they're in detainable distance for me, and I didn't do it. And of course, when Mrs. UK Cop Podcast was talking about this with me, she was saying, well, you're victim focused at that point, so that's the priority. You've not made a bad decision here. No one's going to look at your statement and say, why have you zigged when you should have zagged? That's true. But what's eating me up about this is there was something about this group's vibration, man, that I knew this group by comparison to everyone else there, all the other groups of people that were out socialising in this space. This group was something to do with what had happened. They either were directly involved or knew what had gone on, and something in me sort of flashed them red as they moved close to me. And then what I started doing is I started trying to employ reason into finding to counterbalance that sort of sensation that I'd had. It's something that historically we call the copper's nose, which again is actually like one of those. It's not quite as, I don't quite have the same severity of response as well when I hear vibrations and energy, but when I hear copper's nose, I think, really? But I think this was it. This, I can't even now, I've got all the information on board, I can't even now explain to you what made this group jump out And if I'd have just had the presence of mind to detach from what I was doing, there's an entirely different way I could have played this. I could have, there were multiple units there. We could have got another unit to that victim. We're all looking for the victim. So me detaining this group isn't necessarily going to impede the safety of the victim. We've got multiple officers who are all on scene at different locations within this rural environment. I should have realised that I have enough experience to be interpreting body language that's being presented to me in such a way that I might not be able to spell out with words why exactly this group have become highlighted in my mind, but that observation is still worth pursuing. Because if I'd have detained them and waited for 40 seconds for a unit to get on scene with the victim, and we then obtained a more detailed description, we'd have had all the slot in, bar maybe one, we'd have had all of them in for an assault and an off-wet, or multiple off-weps, because they were carrying knives, apparently. And I've blown that because I forced myself to use a kind of surface level reason. I went, my internal dialogue was, the numbers are wrong, the IC codes are wrong. What was the other thing? There was something else as well. I think that was it. The numbers are wrong, the IC codes. The description's wrong. And yet I knew it was the right thing to do. At some tier of me, I knew that it was the right thing to do to stop that group, and I didn't do it. And then see them all running off into the sunset, it's just, that's just grim. that is the bit that really, this, I said this to the wife, I said that this, that's the bit that really gets on my tits. The fact that these, and by the way, this job is not your 6 of 1 half dozen the other type of thing, which I thought it was when we were on the way down there. I thought, yeah, this is probably just, you know, it's a summer afternoon, they've had, you know, one too many shandies, and before you know where they are, they're giving it the old Queensbury rules. But this actually wasn't that at all. I did that classic cop thing, and then get down there, and it's actually a job. And it's a clear-cut victim suspect. The suspect group have sought out this individual. He looks to have been profiled against friends that he was with for reasons naturally I won't discuss on here. So these are real villains, and they're probably sat around a barbecue themselves now, or early on the scene, and thinking, fucking copper walked straight past us, looked right at us, paid us loads of attention, and let us go. Fuck's sake. Ah, Jesus. It's a school day, isn't it? Every day is a school day. I'm not going to do that again. The next time that occurs to me, I'm going to let that moment breathe. Now, I am going to recognise that there may be things that, just because I can't, in that second, just because I can't find I can't articulate a reason with language. I don't have the immediate facts to hand to employ them to justify my my suspicion about X, Y, Z. That doesn't mean I've got the authority to write it off before letting that moment emulsify a little bit. And if I'd have just taken a couple of seconds to think, as I was so focused on finding this bloke, and if I'd have just taken that couple of seconds, we'd have had them all in. Yep. But there we go. I shall go in now. 3 hours late again, and I probably won't think about it anymore. It's difficult to, you know, I never really know the stuff that's going to linger around for a little bit, but so I don't like to call it. Sometimes the weirdest jobs kick around in your head for a little while, don't they? But I can't really see this one giving me too much grief. And anyway, it's one of those things, isn't it, where you've got to draw a line, because it's not going to serve anyone in the future for me to be caught up on this. I did the best I could do in that moment. Unfortunately, retrospectively, it wasn't the best thing possible, but it was the best I could do in the moment, so I shall have to leave it there. I'm going to go in now, sleep for 3 hours, get up, and then do a couple of jobs here at the house, and then go in tomorrow and try and do it all again, and I'll be back on here afterwards, I imagine, to tell you what I've fucked up tomorrow. Yeah. That is it. Look after yourself, my friends. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Really helps. Talking about the podcast it really helps me. I want to be of as much service as I can. I sound like a fucking, it's an elaborate word, isn't it, for what I'm doing. If you feel this is useful to you, maybe recommend it to somebody that you think it'd be useful to as well. That is really what this is all about. I think that was about it. Oh yeah, Instagram. If you want to have a chat with me about anything, UKCop Podcast on Instagram. There are dots between the words. And with that, I think we're done. Be good, guys and girls. I will speak to you soon. Bye-bye for now.